Thank you, Brother Mark. We're pleased to have our Brother Freeman Thompson from San Antonio serve us this morning and then later on after lunch as well. For his first discourse, his title is The Unchangeableness of God's Promises. The Unchangeableness of God's Promises. Brother Freeman.
Thank you, Brother Ross, and good morning to each and every one of you. It's certainly a pleasure for me to be here in your midst this morning, and I thank you for the invitation. And it has been a world blessing to me to be here with those of like precious faith. We had a wonderful evening last evening, a lot of fellowship, and some I haven't seen for quite some time, and it was certainly appreciated. And again, I can't thank you enough for the invite, and we were blessed. We were expecting a lot of the storm there, some of that in San Antonio, but we did not even get a drop of rain. But we did extend our love and kindness to all of those that were the evacuees that were able to get in there. This morning, we're going to talk about God's unchangeable promises. I think in the King James, it's the immutability in Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. Immutability, if we might use that, is unchangeableness, it's unalterable, it's invariable. In Psalms 89:34, the unchangeableness of our God is one of the attractive features of his character. His assurance is, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So the basis for all of our hope lies in the unchangeable character of the Almighty God. Even when the Lord's word or sentence is against us, as in the case of his pronouncement against sin and sinners, and even though his unchangeableness will not permit him to excuse sin or clear the guilty, this very constancy becomes an assurance to us that as God has been strict and unchangeable in regard to the penalty pronounced, he will be equally strict and equally unchangeable concerning all the good promises and covenants which he has made to you and I. The Almighty God Jehovah is a God of order. Everything that he does is in accordance with a definitely prearranged plan. And his appointed times and seasons are no insignificant or unimportant part of that plan. When we examine the scriptures with a reverent spirit, it is then that we learn what God is pleased to show us regarding his times and his seasons. So we can see God has a definitely fixed purpose, and all of his purposes shall be accomplished. The Almighty God is working all things after the counsel of his own will, according to a plan which he proposed in himself before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 11. And chapter 3, verse 11. And since he changes not, as in Malachi 3, 6, but all of his purposes shall be accomplished, it is manifest that he cannot exercise his providence in any way which would be detrimental to the ultimate ends of his perfect plan. The psalmist says in Psalms 145, 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." This statement includes the whole universe. This includes the humblest as well as the most exalted sentient beings. The whole creation as we know it is in his care. Think for a moment of the memory that never failed, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the possibility of failure, and times that plan with unerring precision for the ages to come. Of the power, think about this, of the power and skill which can harness even every opposing element, animate or inanimate, and make them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand designs. Think of the tireless vigilance that never ceases, nor seeks relief from the pressing cares of universal dominion, whose eye never sleeps, whose ear is ever open, and who is ever cognizant of all the necessities and active in all the interests of his broad domain. Let's look for a moment at a few scriptures of those precious promises that were made to you and I, to the world of mankind. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And Joshua 21:45. Not one of his good promises, which the Lord hath made to the house of Israel, failed. All came to pass. Verses Joshua 23:14-15. Not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one word has failed. And it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. Was this accomplished? Yes, it was. And Joshua 23:16. Again to Israel, when you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. That's from the New American Standard. Did that happen, brethren? 1 Kings 8:56, again to Israel. Of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many failed? Not one. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servants. In Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations, that's from the King James Version. Again, in Psalms 89:34, we read early on, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. Just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so will it stand. In Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 46:11. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Isaiah 55:11, I won't read the context from 8, starting with verse 8, but Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And verse 11. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Again in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. In Matthew 5:18, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Hebrews 6:17-18. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, which is to the church, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Dear brethren, we've had a number of promises, and I was listening last night to during the fellowship, and some of the thoughts, and we realize, and don't misunderstand me, I realize darkness covers the earth, Isaiah 16:2, and gross darkness the people. Satan is the one that's blinding the world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We're aware of that. But eventually, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and they're going to all know him eventually as a result of this. They're going to all know him from the least until the greatest. But to you and I, at this particular point in time, it has been given for us to know. These scriptures that we read, this God cannot lie. I use this sometimes in witnessing. Just take a few scriptures off the top here. John 5:28 and 29. The time is coming when how many? When all in heaven? No, brethren. Who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. The scriptures that we just read, of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many failed? Not one. Isaiah 55 and 11 again. His word shall not return unto him void in the King James, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. God does not break promises, dear brethren. You and I have this assurance. We have no reason to doubt. God has assured us that he cannot lie. It would be totally contrary to his four attributes. He promised Israel a double, did he not? Did that happen? In Hosea 6, 1 and 2, and I'm leaving my script again, get lost. What was his promise to Israel? Told them to be ready in 2 days. By the third day, he was going to raise them up. I think in your question, it's not pertaining to that particular part of it, but in John 2, 19 and 21. Is Israel back, brethren? What time is it? It's the third day. Your question, your first question this morning is in 2, 19 through 22. Destroy this temple. And he will raise it up when? On the third day. Referring to the temple of his body, which would be the church in verse 21. God, brethren, cannot lie. In Isaiah 2, 4, the promise is that all wars shall cease. Has that happened? No, brethren. But God has promised in His Word that all wars shall cease. He has promised in Psalms 37:10, all evil shall be suppressed. We have the Lord's word, dear brethren, that this is going to happen. Has the covenant with Abraham been fulfilled? The new covenant, it hasn't come into effect yet. I know there are some may disagree, but all the families through Abraham, and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I see a lot of feet members still sitting on this side of the veil. That scripture can't be fulfilled until those that are sitting here in front of me this morning have passed beyond the veil. I was trying to get the scripture, and I've lost it. Computer's down. But do you not know that the saints are going to judge the world? Court's not in session yet. Sure, the world, the nations are on trial for life. I mean, for going down. We see that every day. But individually, you and I, sure, to us to whom it has been given, we are on trial for life or death everlasting. And Paul tells us in Romans 2:7, here we are seeking glory, honor, and immortality. But for the world of mankind, brethren, darkness still covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. Did our Lord die on time? Was He crucified on time? That happened. In AD 33, the crucifixion of our Lord began. I mean, it happened. Did Israel's disfavor begin at that particular point in time? Was He crucified based upon what Daniel has prophesied in chapter 9? Turn with me, if you will, to chapter 9 of Daniel. Beginning at verse 24, speaking about the 70 weeks. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. I'm reading from the New American Standard. So you ought to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree, and I believe it was in Nehemiah, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Well, the only reason I read all of that, brethren, is because I was referring specifically to, well, let's back up to AD 29. From 454 BC, I believe, that's when that decree was issued. And for that 83 weeks would bring us to AD 29, our Lord. That's the one prophecy that tells us when our Lord returned. Here we just read a moment ago that he would be cut off in the middle of the week in AD 33. Did that happen? I think we all agree to that. Did we not go back to Matthew 23, the last two verses, I believe it is, that Israel's house was left unto them desolate as a result of what they did? They killed our Lord. Was that 70 weeks not fulfilled up 3.5 more years? The nation itself was cut off in AD 33, was it not? As a nation, but as individuals, no, because they had the remaining 3.5 years to AD 36, and that completed the 70 weeks. Did it not? These scriptures, these were promises that were made and were fulfilled, I believe. Was it not exclusive to the Jews up until AD 36? Sure it was. Cornelius, sometimes after AD 36, is when that's went out to the Gentiles. But the only thing I'm saying here is that what God has promised, he does not lie. And it's fulfilled exactly on time. What about the double from 1813 B.C. up until A.D. 33, from the death of Jacob until the death of our Lord? A period of disfavor. I meant favor. But then from A.D. 33 up until 1878, the disfavor ended, did it not? What occurred in 1878? I think most of the Bible students believe that the sleeping saints were raised at that particular point in time. There was a Jewish prime minister in 1878, was it not, in England? Were all of these by chance, brethren? No. God cannot lie. He has foretold the end from the very beginning. Well, did not favor go back out to Israel beginning in 1878? They were able to purchase land again. Did the nominal system start to go down at that particular point in time? They lost favor. Let's look at some of the earthly promises, brethren, again. Well, no, let's do this. Let's go to the heavenly promises first. Hebrews 3:1. And this is strictly for the church. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And in 2 Timothy 2:12, this is a promise to you and I. If we endure, speaking of the church, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. God cannot lie and does not lie, brethren. He has never broken a promise. Was Israel not a type of the church in one particular instance? Sure. Those things, as Paul tells in Romans, what is it, 12? I may be off. Those things that happened aforetime were for our instruction. 1 John 3:2, to the church again. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. A promise to the church. God's word shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was set. This is a promise to you and I. Revelation 21:9 of Revelations. Again, still with speaking to the church. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride of the wife of the Lamb. Revelation 5:10 of Revelations. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. If we suffer with them, brethren, we've been promised that we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. It's beyond my comprehension to understand. And sometimes at one time I had the audacity to question God. Why me? I had Sister Sharon Leslie told me many years ago, are you questioning God? I could see so many much more intelligent, much with more money and all of this when I first came into the truth. Why they are so much smarter than I am, so much more intelligent. But today I realized God was looking at the heart. It doesn't make any difference how much earthly goods we have, or how, if we're a PhD or XYZ, it doesn't make any difference. But God looks at the heart. And I've never did this again, because the truth to come out of the darkness that I was in and to come into this marvelous light that you and I see today, brethren, it's way beyond my understanding. How God has, I knew nothing. I was afraid to even open a Bible. But I didn't come up in the truth. I came up in the nominal systems. It was very frightening to me. I knew I wasn't a good person. I knew I fell far short And yet, I was on the roll of the church there. I was a Methodist. That's been eons ago, though. That's over 35, 33, 34 years ago. But even though I had signed on the dotted line, as I was telling the friends around the table last night, and I shook the preacher's hand, I knew I was not good. I wasn't aware of the court and recognizing what's on that brazen altar and coming up to the laver and washing. I had no knowledge of this at all. And then tying myself up to the door. That was totally foreign to me. But I'm so thankful today, brethren. And I tell my friends that have come up in the court, do not take it for granted. If you've never been exposed to that darkness as those who came out of that nominal system, please give God the glory, because you can't. Most of the friends that came up in the court cannot, they can't relate to this situation as opposed to those who were out there. But brethren, I give thanks today. And I'm thankful to have those who speak the same language here this morning. I'm so grateful. I'm even around those that I'm very familiar with, and I can't, my neighbors, we don't speak the same language. But to come around those of like precious faith, and I've gotten away from my talk here, but for those of like precious faith, there's nothing like it. It's a joy and a blessing. And to you, to whom it has been given, it's a joy that I don't know, brethren. It's beyond my comprehension. Let's look at some of the earthly promises. And for a few minutes, I don't know. I don't see. I didn't know you. Well, anyway, brethren, we're thankful for this opportunity. And keep in mind, 1 Kings 8:56, again, of all the good promises that God made to Israel, not one has failed. Isaiah 55:11 again. My word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. And the promises that God has made, which I did not get into this morning, what we see today that's occurring is going to stop. The world of mankind, they too are going to be blessed with the knowledge of the truth. And they're going to all know him from the least until the greatest. Keep in mind, God does not lie. Of all the good promises, he has never broken one. May the Lord bless us. Officers.